Well, let's pray to the Lord together now. Heavenly Father, we do pray that you will use this time to really speak to our hearts and inspire us in our own faith and in sharing that faith with others. Amen. Well, please do be seated. Well, we're continuing in our series this morning, I'm Glad You Asked That. We're looking at questions that many people have about the Christian faith. And last week we looked at the question of who is Jesus. And remember, we looked at the claims of Jesus, how Jesus claimed to be the Jewish Messiah, and how Jesus claimed to be God himself. And we looked through those claims and looked at the options it left us with. Well, today we're moving on to look at the whole of the Christian message in a nutshell. And I want you to imagine for a moment that you're having coffee with somebody, a friend, who then turns around and suddenly says, "So tell me, what exactly do Christians believe? Can you tell me the Christian message? And it's over to you. What would you say?" Maybe just take a minute. I'll just give a minute of silence. Just think, how would you respond to that question when your friend asks you, "What is it that you Christians believe?" Not an easy question, really, is it? We think we know our faith well, and sometimes when we need to explain it succinctly to somebody, we think, oh, which part do I start from? Some of you may have come up with a particularly good Bible verse, which is a good starter. But what we're going to look at today is the Christian message in a nutshell. And I'm hoping that this will enable you to be able to explain succinctly the Christian message to that friend over coffee. Or perhaps it might be enlightening for you. Perhaps it might just clarify some questions that you've had about the Christian faith. Well, either way, I hope it will be a benefit this morning. We've got six pictures that explain the Christian faith in a nutshell. I've added a seventh picture at the end, which will make sense when we get there. But let's just start. What do Christians believe? Well, first thing is the world at creation. Well, we believe that God created the world, and that's a good place to start. We don't believe that the world just came about by its own causes and somehow God popped up somewhere. No, God was there from eternity and he made the world. And God here is represented as a crown. And it's good reason that God is represented as a crown, because God is the ruler of the world. He's the king. So we've got there God represented as a king. And he made the world, he is the ruler over all that he made. And what is very interesting about the Christian faith is the Bible tells us that God created human beings, there we are, to live under, he's been on a diet. God created us to live as rulers of the world, but under his authority. And if we think about that, that's very important, because it means that we shouldn't go around misusing the world. In the book of Genesis, when God says to the man, "Now, okay, have many offspring, go out and subdue the world," that's not in a case of pillaging the world, but going out and looking after the world, taking care of it under God's authority. So that is how the world should be. God being the ultimate ruler, delegating some authority to human beings who rule the world under his authority. And wouldn't the world be a marvellous place if we all took that responsibility to look after the world and each other seriously? And here's a Bible verse Revelation chapter 4 verse 11 to remind us of that. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honour and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. So God is worthy because he's created all things, and all things continue to exist by God's will. Well, if the story ended there, it would be marvellous, but of course that's not how the world is seen now. Something's gone wrong. So the world today, well, God is still there, there's the crown, the world's still there, but human beings don't like living under anybody else's authority. So we've decided to depart from living under God's authority, and we've set up our own little crowns. We've write our own rules. So we've all rejected the true authority, God, and decided to do our own thing. However, do we get it right? Well, of course we don't. God knows how the world should work. He knows the right standards of morality. And when we try and do things our own way, well, selfishness kicks in, all sorts of other things, and the world breaks. So the next symbol there is a broken world. Now, this is a powerful symbol because not only does it show that the world is broken, but it shows that there's now a gap between human beings and God. It's like a great big chasm has opened up. And the reason that is because of sin. Sin includes all the things that we do wrong. They make the world go from bad to worse. But the heart of sin is that turning away from the true authority figure, God, and trying to set up our own little kingdoms without God. The result is a broken world, marred by sin. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 to 12. Here Paul quotes from the Old Testament. And it's not a pretty picture. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. That's not to say that we can't do some good things for neighbours from time to time. But something in the human heart has gone evil. And that is the problem. But what's God going to do about this rebellion? He can't allow this situation to go on indefinitely. If he did, well, it would be like a high court judge sitting there, and as each criminal comes in and they say, I've stolen £5,000, I've beaten somebody up in the street, it would be a terrible judge to say, forgiven, doesn't matter, sweep it under the carpet. God has to do something about this behaviour. And the outlook is therefore rather gloomy. God's punishment for rebellion is death and judgment. So sin has come into the world and it has led to a very bleak future for us all. We're all one day going to face God's judgment and the sentence is death. And so over the centuries, human beings have recognised that something's gone wrong and have tried to put it right. I'll read these words because they're a bit small. It's doing good is the first one, and religion. You can see what human beings try to do. They try to bridge the gap. They try to solve it. But just doing a few bits of good doesn't solve the ultimate problem. It doesn't solve the ultimate problem that the human heart is now bent towards disobedience. And religion doesn't help us. We can come to church every day of the week. We can pray from morning to night. But by itself, religious works do not help us because they don't change the human heart. We need something else. Well, if we left the picture here, it would be awful. And as Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27 says, man is destined to die once and after that face judgment. The Christian message, though, is one of good news. God is a God of love. He's a God of justice, so his justice has to be seen to be done. But he doesn't want us to end up dead and judged. So out of his great love, picture number 4, God sent his only son, Jesus, to the world. God as a human being. And this is where the picture falls down slightly, because really I suppose Jesus should be under the big crown, because Jesus is the only person who ever lived a good life, a perfect life, a life that was constantly lived under the kingship of his heavenly Father. But I put Jesus over there in the middle for a particular reason, because Jesus came, and although he's the only person who did not deserve to die, he did die on the cross. And the Bible says when he was doing that, he was taking upon the sins of the world. And you can see what the picture has done. It's showing that there is now a bridge back to God that has been made possible because Jesus has taken our sin onto himself. Jesus died in our place. So the punishment that has to come from the judge, the sentence has been paid for by someone else if we accept it. And that's the good news. There's a way back to God. Bible verse 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 18. Christ died once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Jesus was righteous, but he died for the unrighteous. Why? To bring us from this side to God. So we can cross from death to life. But that's not all. That verse goes on to say that Christ was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. So Jesus has now risen from the dead on the third day, and then ascended into heaven. That means that Jesus now sits with his heavenly Father in heaven. He has been made alive, but he will return as the judge one day. But the good news is he has conquered death, and he can now give new life to all who turn to him. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of the dead. If Jesus has been raised back to life, eternal life, when he says he can promise us eternal life, we know he means it. And so that brings us to our final picture. And on the handouts that are on the reverse of the letter from the rector, you'll see these six pictures, so you can use them and maybe even just draw them on a piece of paper if you're with your friend in the coffee bar. But the six pictures, here we come to the challenge for us. Two ways. We can continue to live our own way, on this side, with our own little crown, continuing to rebel against God. It means rejecting the ruler, trying to live our own life, our own way without him. But the result is we're going to remain condemned by God, facing death and judgment. So that's not a wise place to be. What about the other way? Well, we can now go God's new way, which means crossing from one side to the other. It means leaving our own little crown behind and coming back under the lordship of God. Well, that means that we have to submit to Jesus as our ruler. When he says, do this in the Bible, don't do that, we should obey him. It means that by crossing that bridge made by the cross, that is an act of faith, relying on Jesus' death and resurrection. But the result is forgiveness by God and given eternal life. So there we are. What choice do we do? Do we stay there? Or do we make this choice? That act of crossing is what some people call conversion to the Christian faith. It is saying, I am going to repent and believe. Repent simply means turning away from that way of life and coming under the lordship of Jesus. Believe is an act of faith. It's not just believing that God exists. It is trusting in Jesus' death and resurrection for us as the means to give us new life. John chapter 3 verse 36. Whoever believes in the Son, has faith in the Son, has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. We stay living our way, God's anger and judgment remain. However, if we cross, we have eternal life. Well, there's our six pictures. And I think it's a very good outline, this, because all the main points about teaching about God and humanity in the Bible are here. So we have creation. We've got the whole problem of the fall from grace, sin and rebellion. We see judgment. We see God's character as just and sinless. But we also see God's compassion and forgiveness, sending Jesus into the world, making himself known through Jesus. And of course, John 3:16. sending Christ into the world so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We've got the resurrection in this outline. But above all, we've got this separation from God that is solved by the cross, leaving us with this choice that we must all face. And finally, that step of faith is a step of repentance and faith. So it's good to use these six pictures. I'm just going to add an extra one, though, which I was thinking about. Because this is very individualistic. And as we come to faith, we often think as individuals. I have a problem. I want to get to know God and have that problem put right. But when God rescues a person, he rescues that person into his kingdom. So this is actually the final picture. When somebody becomes a Christian, they join the community of believers, the church. And here's the church. It's not a building. It's a group of people who have said, we are now people who have submitted to Jesus Christ. We're people who have crossed from death to life. We're now living in a new relationship with God together. And that's one of the reasons we share the peace in communion. Not only do we have peace with God, our Heavenly Father, we say we have peace with each other. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 to 12. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out from darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And how should we live? Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. So that is the end result, joining the community of God, the church. But I'm going to go back to picture number 6 and just leave it there, because this is the challenge we would really want to leave our friend with. Which side do you stand on? Are you still living your own way without God, facing judgment? Or are you living God's way, knowing forgiveness, having eternal life, being friends with God? We really ought to come to leave that challenge with our friend if it's the right moment. But I leave that challenge with you as well. And if you've never made that commitment, if you want to cross from death to life, well, it's an act of faith, trusting in Jesus, his death and resurrection on our behalf. And it's repenting, turning away from the old way of life to a new way of life. Well, let's now pray. Father, we do thank you that although we were separated from you, because of your great love, you sent Jesus into the world to save us from sin and death so that we could be reconciled with you, made your friend, and enjoy life as it was meant to be lived, eternal life which begins now and stretches out into all eternity, even beyond the grave. And so, Father, just ask that you equip us in sharing this message with those who do not know it. And just pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here who needs to make that response, please enable them to take that step of faith and come into your everlasting kingdom. In Jesus' name, Amen.